Robert Browning was an English poet. Of the Victorian era, he had a famous marriage to Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and he was also a famously difficult poet. That is, it was hard sometimes to understand what he was saying. And people who love Browning love trying to figure out what his difficult lines mean. He was my father's favorite poet. And years ago, my father told me a story about Browning that once a woman approached him and said, "You know, Mr. Browning, I read this line of yours and I don't understand what it means." And she read him the line. And he said, "Madam, when I wrote that line, only God and I knew what it meant." He said, "Now only God knows." And every now and then, you come across a line like that in the Torah, where God knows what it means, but the rest of us don't. And in this week's parsha, there is such a line. Now what happens, of course, is you can't leave it there. So I looked in the commentators and I didn't find an explanation that I liked, or at least that satisfied me, so I came up with my own. I'm sure somewhere in Jewish history someone has said this before. All I can tell you is I didn't find it this week. But I want to read you the line, tell you the problem, and then talk about what it might mean. In order for you to understand it, you need to hear the context. You can open the Chumash if you want, but I'm going to read you the couple of lines. You don't need to. If you want to, it's chapter 35, page 212. It says, "Thus Jacob came to Luz, to Bethel, in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who are with him." We understand that. "There he built an altar and named the site El Bethel, for it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother." We understand that. "Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel, so it was named Alon Bachut." That I don't understand. Why all of a sudden with Rebekah's nurse? And not only that, but right after, it says, "God appeared again to Jacob on his arrival from Paddan Aram and blessed him and said, 'Your name shall be Jacob no more.'" So we're talking about Jacob and his altar, and then about God's blessing to Jacob, and stuck in the middle is Rebekah's nurse dies. And we don't know anything about this woman. There's not a single story about her. There's not a single comment about her. All we know is that Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried, and the place she was buried is called Alon Bachut, which means the tree of weeping or the tree of tears. Now, some modern scholars say, well, there was this place called the tree of tears, and the Torah had to explain why it was called that. But I have to say that just to explain the name of a place seems inadequate to interrupt the story of Joseph's blessing by God to mention that Rebekah's nurse died. Others, if you look in the Eitz Chaim, it's so perplexing that it says, well, there must have been other stories about Deborah, but we don't have them anymore, and they're not in the Torah, so that the people who read it at the time understood why Deborah mattered, but since we don't have the stories, we don't understand. But like you, I'm not satisfied when someone says the reason you can't understand this is because there's information that you don't have and will never have. Especially when I got to figure that if a line is in the Torah, it ought to be able to communicate something to us, even if we don't understand other things. Otherwise, it doesn't belong in the Torah. If it has nothing to say, then it shouldn't be here. Other people say, and this is the most common explanation, that the death of Deborah is supposed to foreshadow, is supposed to give a hint of the later death of Rebekah, because Rebekah dies shortly after. But I have to say that we could have read about Rebekah's death even if Deborah hadn't died. The Torah would have said, Rebekah died, and we would have known. You don't need foreshadowing. So why is it there? And I thought about this a lot because it bothered me. Why is Deborah's death mentioned in a pasuk in the Torah, and even that she's buried, and even the name of the place where she's buried. And then I realized that much of the Torah tells us things to illustrate the people in the Torah. That is, we learn about the characters in the lives of Abraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Rachel and Rivka and Leah, not because the characters themselves are necessarily central, but in order to teach us about the characters of the people we care about. So what could it possibly teach us about Rebecca that her nurse dies and is buried at Alon Bachut? Now, the translation that almost all classical translations give and Rashi gives is that this was Rebecca's wet nurse. In other words, the person who breastfed her when she was a baby and from whom she weaned, which means that she has to be a lot older than Rebecca. And that also means that she was of no use to Rebecca anymore. You don't need, as an adult, someone who nursed you as a child who was a wet nurse, who is now too old to be a wet nurse. And yet we know from the one other mention, although it doesn't give her name, that Lavan sent this nurse with Rebecca when she went to meet Isaac. And here she is a lifetime later, and she's still with Rebecca. So I started to think about that. And I thought, what if this is trying to tell us? Rebecca kept this woman and Jacob in their family for their lives because of what she had done for Rebecca when she was a child. Maybe it's trying to tell us something about the kind of person Rebecca was. Because you can imagine that a wet nurse alone in the ancient world had nowhere to go. And if she wasn't attached to a family, she would have been destitute. And I can't imagine that she served any purpose anymore. I mean, don't forget, Isaac and Rebecca, they had already two grown children. They don't need a nurse around the house. And certainly, she's not then going to be a nurse to Jacob and Rachel and Leah's children. But she's still there. She's still with Rebecca. She's still with Rebecca's children. And this is illustrated by the fact that the place that she's buried is called Alon Bachut, the Tree of Tears. Because not only does she stay with the family, but they weep for her when she dies. And I thought, why Rebecca? Remember that Rebecca is the one who sees the future. She's the one that says Esau is not the person to carry the blessing. It's Jacob. And even though her husband doesn't know that, Rebecca knows that. She's the one who dresses Yaakov up to deceive Isaac because she sees the future, and maybe she sees the future because she remembers the past. She fled from Lavan's house. Do you remember that? She got out of there as soon as she could. And we know Lavan, her brother, was not a good guy. But she took the person with her who was good and kept her throughout her life. And then I started to think about the people in our lives, not our family, who help us along the way and we forget. Teachers, nurses, counselors, older people who for a moment touch our lives. When I was a child, my brothers and I spent a good deal of time with a woman named Shirley who helped my mother raise us. And I remember the songs she used to sing and the games she used to play. And the truth is, she was central to our childhood. We saw her once or twice when we were adults, but I don't know what became of her. We long since lost touch, but Rebecca didn't. Rebecca made sure that she carried her past with her, made sure that when Deborah died, she wept for her. Rebecca didn't forget the people in her life who touched her when she was young. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. It is my guess that everybody sitting here today has somebody who, in years past, made a difference in your life. You may not know where they are, but you could find them, and you could thank them. And you could be inspired by Rebecca to think of that early counselor or teacher or friend of your parents at the time, or friend of your grandparents at the time, or a nurse who made a difference. I think that's why this line is here. It's to tell us that not the only significant influences in your life are those who are in your family that you carry with you forever, but that there are many people who, in order for us to be here, have to give us a hand along the way. I remember once that Billy Wilder was receiving the Oscar for Lifetime Achievement, and he talked about when he came to the United States as an immigrant, and he came to whatever the immigration office was, and he didn't know if he was going to get in or not, and they could have rejected him, and they could have turned him away. And he said he will never forget his whole life the officer who said to him, "Why do you want to come to the United States?" And he said, "I want to make movies." And the officer stamped his visa and said, "Go ahead, make good movies." All of us have people like that in our lives. If we can find them and thank them, it's a great blessing. But if you can't, on this Thanksgiving, think of them for a moment and offer God a prayer, just as Rebecca did for Deborah at Alon Bachut. Shabbat Shalom.